Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The chair is for elderly people, not young people. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وحبيب ربنا وطبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله قال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم البركة مع أكابركم أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected ulama kiram, respected elders and brothers in Islam, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that baraka, blessings, is with your elders, with your seniors. And this hadith refers to the seniors and the elders who are rightly guided, who are living among us. But if we extend it beyond that, when we discuss the lives of our pious predecessors, with this intention, that discussing their lives, some of their benefits will come into us, we will become enthusiastic to emulate them. We may never reach them, we may never reach them. But at least by speaking about them, remembering them fondly, and proclaiming their benefits and virtues, we will inshallah attain a lot of barakah. Now previously we have spoken on this personality's messages in different ways, and none other than Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah. Mawlana Ali Mia, as he was fondly known, very famous alim, globally well renowned, internationally acclaimed in the Arab and the non-Arab world. Now he was one of those people who never came to South Africa, unfortunately. Hazrat Mawlana Umarji Rahmatullah Alayhi, one of our other very senior pious predecessors, made a lot of effort to bring this personality down to South Africa, Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi. And at one time he almost got there, but at the last minute Hazrat had to cancel. Due to him being a very, very well-traveled person, and the fact that South Africa was an apartheid state, he did not want to be hampered to enter into any other country, so he refrained from coming to South Africa. It was our misfortune that he never came to South Africa. Nonetheless, this is such a personality that one can go on and on speaking about him and his virtues. Fortunate are those who have met him, who traveled to India and who did meet Hazrat Mawlana Ali Mia Rahmatullah Ali. He was so widely acclaimed. Generally the Arabs, they do not have much regard to non-Arabs, generally, the Arabs, the Ajam. The non-Arabs are called the Ajam. But he was called Sheikhul Ajami wal Arab by the Arabs. That this is the Sheikh of the Arabs and the non-Arabs as well. You will not find a madrasa, a institute of higher learning, or even an elementary school in the Arab world where you will not find the books of Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, which are the textbooks in those madaris, and even in universities. The man himself was an institution. He himself was an entire institution. So Mawlana Ali Mia Rahmatullah Ali, we spoke about him in this masjid previously when he went to Burma. I think it was 1960 or 61 when he went to Burma. And he warned the Muslims of Burma about the fact that he was a student of history. And he warned the Muslims of Burma. And it wasn't even a year later when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the conditions of the Muslims in Burma and they were expelled from Burma, with many of them with just the clothes on their back. Then we have also spoken in this masjid on another talk which he had given in Dewbury in England in 1982 at the opening of the Tablighi Markaz there, when he gave when he was a guest speaker there at that occasion, when he spoke to the UK Muslims, being a minority in a secular country, exactly like how we are, a minority, a small Muslim minority living in a secular country, and how to live within the secular country. He gave guidelines, so we spoke about that as well. Today we just want to touch on his life and his legacy, which was three things. This encapsulates his entire life. Now we commence with the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ, that actions are based on how they end off, أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Let's discuss his demise and then we'll speak about his life after that. Because the demise is so inviolable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him away on the 31st of December, 1999, Yawmul Jumu'ah, month of Ramadan. Jumu'ah, the month of Ramadan, while he was reciting the Quran and Majid. At the age of approximately 85, this was the end of such an illustrious, pious life, a life well spent and a debt which we can only envy. And it is said that at the end of his life, Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi used to recite Surah Yasin over 10 times in the day. And if we look at Surah Yasin, it's the heart of the Quran Sharif. And so perhaps this may have been the reason why Mawlana was reciting Surah Yasin so often towards the end of his life. And when he came to this ayah of the Quran, of Surah Yasin, فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ عَظِيمٍ, that give them the glad tidings of what? Forgiveness and a great reward. And reciting these ayat of Surah Yasin approximately midday, between 11:45 and 12 o'clock Indian time, approximately at that time, Hazrat Mawlana breathed his last and he met his creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, this is the debt of Iman. And not only Iman, but what a beautiful debt of Iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of us with debt on Iman. And whatever day we die, is the most important thing, فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. We must die as believers. If we die with Iman, we've made it. As long as we leave this world with Iman, we have been successful. And inshallah, the maghfirat of Allah is all encompassing after that. Mawlana was born, some say 1913, some say 1914, one of those 2 years, in Rai Bareli. And he passed away in Rai Bareli as well. He spent his entire life in Rai Bareli, his birthplace, and that's where he passed away. His janaza was attended conservatively by over 200,000 people in the month of Ramadan. We know the virtues of X number of people attending the janaza, 100 people attending a janaza, 40 people attending the janaza of a mu'min. Here there were over 200,000 people present in the janaza of Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah. And even throughout the Muslim world, there was janaza salat made in absentia. Now according to the other madhahib, not the Hanafi madhab, janaza can be performed in absentia. So his janaza was performed in Makkah Mukarramah in the Haram on that night, in Medina Munawwara in the Haram, in Masjid al-Aqsa. Throughout the Arab world, his janaza was performed in Cape Town, because most of our brothers, they follow the Shafi'i madhab. So even in Cape Town in South Africa and throughout the globe, the janaza of Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah was performed. It is said on that night in the Haram of Makkah, there were 1 million people in the Haram of Makkah. So how fortunate indeed the soul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted him. But let's look at his life, and in this few minutes, let's look at his legacy also. Towards the end of his life, he called his family members together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never blessed him with children in his wisdom. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took so much of work from this one individual. He was a small sized person. So much of work Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took from this one human being. He has authored over 50 kitabs. Some of them, I think it's very important that we read. One of them is Saviors of the Islamic Spirit. It's very important for us in this time and age to read this kitab. So it's available in English also. Try to get a copy. Reading has become very extinct in our community. People are not reading anymore. And we need to read. If we read, we empower ourselves, we enlighten ourselves, we increase our knowledge. So, Mawlana was orphaned at the age of 9. Orphaned at the age of 9. And it was his mother who was a very pious lady. And she made his tarbiyah. He was orphaned. He had an elder brother who also took care of his upbringing. There were two things in his life that his mother held onto very steadfastly from a young age. One was his salah wa jama'ah. His mother insisted that this young boy uphold salah wa jama'ah. That was the first thing. And the second thing was that respect, adab. Adab for everybody and everything. His mother ingrained this into this young child, that have respect for everyone and everything. Nonetheless, as I mentioned, towards the end of his life, he gathered all his family members, and they are a very illustrious family. Maulana Ali Mia was from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a Sayyid. What more can we expect from a Sayyid? So, gathered his family members, and he mentioned to them, for the sake of brevity, I'm just going to paraphrase what he mentioned. And he said, I'm a student of history. I have studied civilizations. I have studied empires. So he was trying to giving them their final bequest. And these pious souls, they do not leave dirhams and dinars, rands and cents behind. They leave the legacy of their knowledge behind. They leave the legacy of their deen behind. And he says that as a student of history, I have now summarized that I leave you with three things. And if you hold on to these three things, inshallah, it will hold you in good stead. The first thing he said, and among, he says, from his experiences, the first thing he said, just before we get to these three advices, he went for Hajj in 1947 for the first time. Maulana Ali Mia. When he went for Hajj in 1951, when he went in 1951 for Hajj, the second occasion for Hajj, the Shaiba family, who up till today, from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, till today, the keys of the Ka'batullah is with this family. When the Shaiba family heard that Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi is in Makkah Mukarramah for Hajj, they called him, they welcomed him, they honored him, and they gave him the keys of the Ka'batullah. Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi had the keys of the Kaaba in his hands in Hajj. That means if he wanted to allow somebody to, he could have done it too. So trying to explain the esteem of the person. So when the first advice he gave to his family members is that never be an oppressor. Rather be oppressed. Now this refers to not the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in one's personal life where one can opt to be oppressed and not be the oppressor. And he gave an example. And one of the examples he gave is that when I was a young child, then we had a housemaid and she had a little child. And he said that one day I struck the child of the maid. Children are children. They're going to do that. They'll play, they'll fight, they'll play again. That's children. But when his mother got wind of the fact that he struck the child of the maid, his mother wanted to instill a lifelong lesson into this child who was only 6 years old. So the mother called him, and she called the maid with her child, and she told the child of the maid that you strike Ali Mia. You hit Ali Mia. So the child obviously didn't want to do that out of intimidation. It's not out of intimidation, but out of fear, obviously. So she took the child's hand and she struck her own child. What a lifelong lesson. He says, from that day onwards, I never oppressed anybody. So this is one example he gave among other examples. The second advice he gave was the importance of eating halal and tayyib food. Eating halal and tayyib food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha rusul, kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu saliha. Inni bima ta'maluna alim. That, O messengers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the messengers, the choicest of human beings. Kulu min at-tayyibat. Eat from the provisions of Allah. Wholesome food. Eat what is wholesome. And wa'malu saliha. And do good deeds. Good actions. There is a correlation between wholesome, pure food and good deeds. There's a relationship between the two. One is halal food. That's, we all understand halal food. But one is wholesome food, tayyib food, pure food also. So how important this is for us as Muslims in particular, that we must eat halal and we must eat wholesome as well. And furthermore, to take it further, we see that the importance of the source of our income, that is the source of my income halal, is the source of my income pure, Is it not tainted with anything impermissible? If it's not, then the effects will be that my deeds will be good. The third thing he advised is that join family ties. No matter how cruel your family members are to you, despite that, you join family ties with them. You be good to your relatives, even if they're unkind towards you. And we see the Quran Sharif speaks so much about the importance of fulfilling this injunction, hukukul ibad, of joining family ties. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, sil man qata'ak. Join with that one who breaks with you. One is to have a good relationship with that family member who we have a good relationship with. It's easy, it's not hard. One is that family member who breaks relationship with us for whatever reason. But we humble ourselves and we still join family ties. Sil man qata'ak, ighfir man zalamak. Forgive the person who oppresses you, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So it was a joke among his family members, Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, that if you want to eat mitai, then you must upset Abul Hasan. Say something bad to him. Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, if you want to eat mitai, if somebody, once a relative came who had insulted him, Hazrat kept quiet and he gave the person mitai. A man who fed mitai to those who did that to him. On another occasion, he gave the person some money, a relative some money, and some material as well. A person who insulted him. He was the embodiment of what he was preaching. And the embodiment of the prophetic way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Mawlana Sheikh Muhammad Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi, who we all know very famously. Also he's Sheikh al-Ajami wal-Arab. He also, once a year, one day in a year, he used to take out where he used to visit each and every relative of his for a few minutes also. He used to make a list of all his relatives who he hadn't seen perhaps. And he used to go and visit each and every relative. Today, how easy it is for us with technology, etc., if we use it beneficially and to our advantage, that we maintain family ties, especially with those who are a distance away from us. In conclusion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with good lives like the life of Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi. We have just maybe 2 or 3 minutes. He was celebrated in his life also. He was given various awards. He was given the King Faisal Award. He was given the Award of Brunei. He was given the UAE Award and a whole lot of other awards he was given. On one occasion, Sheikh Ala Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali, who is from a very renowned religious family in Saudi Arabia, he presented him with a gift of 40 gold coins. Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi lived very simply, a very ascetic life. Simple home, simple food, simple clothing. So he was given 40 gold coins as a gift. He took one coin out just to please the Sheikh. Because of the distinguished background of the Sheikh, he took one coin and he returned the 39 coins again. And it is said even that one coin he gave it in the path of Allah. It's a sunnah to accept a hadiah, so he accepted one out of the 40 and he gave the rest away. So, and then there were so many universities of the world, whether it was in Damascus, it was in Beirut, it was in Medina Munawwara, so many places offered him the chairs in those various faculties of Islamic education, theology. He never accepted any of those offers. He remained simple right till the end. He remained in Rai Bareli, and that was his legacy. And in conclusion, just to summarize the legacy of Mawlana Ali Mia Rahmatullah Ali, the first thing he said, never oppress anyone, rather be the oppressor. The second thing he said, the importance of eating halal and tayyib food. And the third thing he said, the importance of joining family ties, and especially with those relatives who are unkind towards us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all on the day of Jumu'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring about conditions of aman, peace, prosperity in our land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the anxiety and the restlessness that many people are suffering from due to the conditions around us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eliminate the issue of crime which is rampant in our society, the kidnappings that are taking place in the Muslim community. Allah ta'ala protect us, protect our families from such evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give hidayah to those who perpetrate such evil deeds as well. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.